Maria suggested we find out how much a cab would be to the teleférico, the lift that takes you up to the top of the volcano, because it would take us several bus rides and a big chunk of time to get there. So we stopped a cab to ask. We let Maria do the talking, because gringos always get charged more than Ecuadorians. At that time in Quito, you had to negotiate prices in advance with cab drivers because they didn't use meters. What? No meters? Nope, no meters. But Maria did a great job and secured us a cab ride across town for $2. It would have cost the three of us at least twice that on the bus and would have taken us four times as long to get there, so we were happy. We zipped across town with no problems until we got to the cable car entrance, where there was a steep hill to get to the ticket office. The cab stuttered. The cab sputtered. Then it choked and lurched before conking out completely. The cabbie shyly smiled and said he might just maybe be out of gas. Are you kidding me? So we got out of the cab, paid the driver his lousy $2, and started huffing up the side of the mountain. We're talking at least 3/4 of a mile straight up. Straight up at 12,000 feet. I mean, come on, I hadn't learned to breathe at 9,000 feet yet. Now, I tend to be a glass half full type of person, but none of us could find a silver lining in having to climb that ghastly hill. We couldn't even pretend it was funny. We barely survived the death march and purchased our tickets for the teleférico. Then a teen in an orange reflective vest led us to a tiny orange cable car he claimed could hold up to 6 people. This thing looked like a toy, and I couldn't see how my 6-foot-plus husband was going to fit in there with 5 other people. But it worked out. The others in the car with us ended up being a below-average-sized South American couple, so Hugh had plenty of room for his legs after all. Maria engaged the pair in conversation and found out they were both trombone players. What? Yeah, professional trombone players from Argentina. On the way up the mountain, we occasionally passed cars en route back down. Everybody in our car would wave to the descending passengers, which made me feel a little silly, but I did it anyway because I didn't want to come across as a stick-in-the-mud sourpuss. I was a bit scared of the height, you see, but I didn't want to spoil everyone's fun. After what seemed like 3 hours to me, really only 20 minutes, más o menos, we finally got to the top, and there we were, standing on this awesome mountain, at 15,000 feet, one of the highest in Ecuador. It was not just cold, it was get-under-your-skin-in-2 seconds-flat cold. Our exposed faces were assaulted by what felt like tiny ice daggers, and I wondered how long it would take for hypothermia to set in. No wonder Maria had insisted on giving us extra hats and scarves that morning. The view was, well, how can you assign mere words to such a breathtaking sight? Hugh and I both took some pictures, but after a while, we decided to just enjoy the moment. Pictures would never be able to adequately depict the raw, vast, and perfect beauty of what we saw that morning. So we became as still as we could in the breezy, sub-freezing weather and let the magnificence wash over us. Coming down the mountain was not nearly as fun as going up, because you could see exactly how high you were and how far there was still to travel in that small, wobbly cable car. It didn't help matters that about halfway down the car hiccuped to a complete stop, leaving us dangling 300 feet over the side of a volcano. I was not happy, to say the least, and begged Hugh not to move because that made the car sway. He found that funny and proceeded to rock the boat with a little flick here and a little flick there, which amused Maria. Fortunately, we were only stranded for about 10 minutes, but I think those were the longest 10 minutes of my life.